Do you struggle to feel the presence of God with you throughout stressful days? Prayer in Motion by Jennifer Tucker shows you how to bring prayer into your daily routine through simple movements and mindful rhythms that draw your heart and mind back to God anytime, anywhere. Get your copy now wherever you buy books.
Enhance your CTE programs with AP and the college credit it offers. New AP Career Kickstart courses are now available for high schools to adopt for the 2026-2027 school year. Help your students kickstart their careers with AP Cybersecurity or AP Business with Personal Finance. Learn more at careerkickstart.org.
Are we podcasting though? I
think we're podcasting, Jenny.
I think that we're podcasting.
Via the interwebs.
Oh, yes.
Now it sounds so like quiet and demure.
Does it? That's because I had a space heater on because it's cold.
It is cold. I think anything under 40 degrees counts as cold.
Man, I'm freezing.
I mean, it doesn't stay that all day.
Not at all. But we're podcasting at night. It's a Friday night.
It's a Friday night.
You're going to listen on a Tuesday morning.
Yeah, it's a Friday night. I'm going to tell you what I plan on doing tonight. And I'm just going to say it fast because I think it's too sexy. And I don't want this podcast to get into a different category like adult entertainment.
Sure.
I bought new hangers at Home Goods.
Mm.
And I'm going to slow roll laundry and have something playing in the background. I'll binge any show that I can because it'll take me a good 11 episodes to even crack half into what I got going on. I know there's no reason to complain about certain things because we all, especially as moms, we just go, well, you're not beating the system. You know what I mean?
I fucking
hate laundry. I don't mind working in the yard. I don't mind cleaning my car. I don't mind making beds. You know, I kind of like making beds. I can really handle a lot. I don't like grocery shopping and I don't like laundry. Those are two things that if I was a rich person, I would have lots of people doing that for me.
I don't know what. I think everybody does hate laundry, except my brother who talks all the time about how much he hates ironing.
I like ironing
more than any other human I've ever met in my
life. I like to steam.
I do that. I pretty much exclusively steam anymore.
I like to vacuum. I like to vacuum. I like to steam.
I'm very concerned that this is getting too like
porny.
OnlyFans. Yeah. Like, you know what? Honestly, I read this article about how much money people make on OnlyFans.
Oh my gosh, yes. Doing that weird thing where they're just domestic. Did you hear about it? Is that what the one you're talking about?
But can you make money that way?
Yes.
I don't want to show any body parts or...
I will do weird feet stuff. I don't care. I just don't want to deal with the setup. I don't want to deal with literally trying to figure out how to sign on to OnlyFans because I won't figure it out and I'll get frustrated.
Well, that's the thing. I want to just see kind of what it's about, but I'm scared I go on there. I'll get like tracked by the FBI or something like that.
I know. We saw you looking at firemen holding goats. And
baby goats. I'm only a human being, Kristen. You're very attractive.
There is a thing. I couldn't even really understand what she was talking about. They interviewed her and she's making a ton of money. And basically what she does is people pay her on OnlyFans to be like a submissive wife. Not a submissive. It's not sexual. But like they literally will call and text her and say, have a pot roast on by 5. And she's like, okay, dear. And that's like boner town for them. And they send her money.
Okay. So is it like role playing where you like a person tells you what they want to watch you do?
No. Well, but it's all only doing domestic shit that I do every day. I just don't look good doing it. And I don't have a good attitude doing it. But like, she's like, I've pressed your shirts or some shit. And then she gets paid money. There's no sexual, like, I'm sure that guy's getting a Woody because he's
I don't want my husband to hear about that because then he's going to go spend money on there for a nice wife. I don't need the competition.
I don't either. My husband will be like, well, I'm just glad he knows that that kind of shit is only something you can pay for. that in real life were pissed off because you get done with 14 loads of laundry and your kid literally throws the shit that was on their body for 5 minutes back in the laundry.
Or on the floor.
Or throws folded clothes in the laundry. It's like they want to get in a fist fight with me.
Hold on one second. Can you hear a neighbor backing a forklift over my fucking roof or something?
Let's figure out whose house has more noise going on.
It is evening, everybody. Let's call it a day, shall we? Let's quit with the construction, man. Okay, rate, review, and subscribe. We're coming in hot into 2025. We're going to have some interviews, some celebrity interviews, some pseudo-celebrity interviews.
Just some interesting people or anybody who's available.
Yeah, anybody who wants to talk to us and can get word in edgewise.
Good luck on you.
Yeah. I wanted to tell this story that happened over the before the holidays, and I never got to. I think it's like really a quintessential moment in my life, in the like where I'm at in parenting and in my child's life, which is that they had this you know how in December I do that super dorky thing where I try to wear festive gear every day?
Yep.
Yeah, I know. Some people like it. Clearly some people don't. As I've come to find out, you know, I've invested a lot of scratch in Christmas shirts and I want to get usage out of them. There's really only 1 month where you won't get a ton of shit for doing it. So I try to do it every day in December. So I had signed up to chaperone to go to the Science Center with my middle schooler. First one, only field trip of the year. And I said before we went, I go, now I don't have to wear Christmas clothes if you don't want me to. And he was like, no, it's okay. Just don't go like overboard.
So I'm sorry. Is this on? Is this on? Dashiell, have you met me? I'm your mother. What do you mean overboard? Like no garland earrings?
Yeah. Am I supposed to take it to mean no jewelry? No headpieces. But
he's knocking the legs right out under you. Okay.
Thank you.
But that's pretty good that he said he didn't say a resounding no.
Well, let me tell you what happened. Because I ended up wearing a red and white polka dotted shirt, a very bright green Kelly cardigan that I get a lot of compliments on from adult people all the time.
That never matters, Jen. You know that, right? It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter.
Grandmas always compliment that sweater, Kristen.
Wrong crowd.
Homeless people always compliment that sweater. So, and then I wore our matching jegging, like our sweat. Chris and I have matching sweatpant jeans that actually have like denim.
Those are cool.
They weren't with this outfit, I'll tell you that. As I saw myself to look in the mirror and was like, well, how bad was this at the end of the day? So that, and I had red socks on, and I have a special pair of white and green Adidas that I wear, you know, for the holidays.
Feels like you did nothing to pump the brakes. FYI, I don't know what you're going to add to that that isn't going to give everybody a seizure.
Well, it was so, okay, so I go up to the school, and there are all these other parents there just hanging out, looking real cool, looking very...
Nobody's wearing Christmas.
Nobody's wearing Christmas. You either were like... They were all either like a Lululemon matching set, you know, with like some kind of an expensive looking a collared kind of sweater or something. Even the dads were cool. The dads all had like a cool jacket. And it was interesting.
Did
and
they
I
not
could
get
tell.
The memo?
No, Kristen, they got a different memo. And I'll tell you what that memo was.
Because you wrote it?
They all looked very cool, all of them. Nobody wanted to talk to me, even the ones that I've known for years.
They were like, what are you doing?
They were a little like, which
they're like, do you teach preschool?
Hello, you saw me at the elementary school and you saw this is what I do.
They were like, we thought you would stop doing it in middle school.
Well, you know how they do like theme week for the holidays?
Yes.
So every day is a different day. Well, it just so happened that day was blackout day. So that
blackout
means
day,
you try to wear all black, like head to toe black. And so most of the parents got that memo and all of the kids got that memo. So if you want to just picture 144 middle schoolers
looking like they're goth,
looking goth with their black hoodies up, rolling their eyes at this fucking lady over here. And then it, as though it couldn't get worse when they're calling out like the small groups that you're going to like chaperone with. Jen McAdams first, she's numero uno. So they
like, no, I don't want to go with her. She looks like a parking cone.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So they call me up and call my group. Number one is Dashiell McAdams.
Oh, no.
Who couldn't be more unhappy. He would not stand by me. He looked like he was going to barf. And I was like, hey, are you okay? And he was like, don't.
Meanwhile, the lights on Jen's sweater are going. She's like, hold on, does this make you better? And you pinch your earring, and it's like,
every time I walked, I jingled. Yep. And, you know, I had matching purse, everything. Everything was all holiday.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it.
And my son goes, I go, what's wrong? He goes, people are talking about you. And I was like,
you're like, yeah, baby, I still got it.
Okay.
What's up?
I go, well, what are they saying? Are they saying stuff like they don't like what I'm wearing? And he goes, they're calling it a vibe. And I go, that's I don't think that does not sound like a compliment. None of those kids were looking at me like a vibe is a compliment. They were looking at me like I was going to be chaperoning. Like
alone.
Yes. Like because. Or somebody would be chaperoning,
you're chaperoning
me.
You.
Yes. Because, yeah, they were like, what's wrong with that lady? Be nice
I
to her.
I say, you do you. And deep down in Dashiell's gut of his soul, he loves it. Because I will tell you, as a kid of a teacher, my mom used to wear some of the dumbest shit. I remember when I was a seventh grader, when middle school feels like every single thing you do is magnified beyond measure. Every act, every social interaction, every party,
like
every.
Back in middle school.
I
honestly,
know because they are mean.
You could feel, I could feel the parent, like my peers, kind of like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, because
like,
they're falling
cool.
In line with those middle schoolers because the middle schoolers are terrifying.
It was great. Like, I really felt self-conscious and I was like, you know what? Maybe this is just a confident look. Maybe you're just going to...
Yeah, you got to lean in. Sometimes you got to own it. Because it's funny we're talking about this because I had... So first of all, first thought, my mom, school teacher, you didn't mess with her. Her favorite thing was if she... Okay, the year's 1991.
Okay, I'm predicting and like a Looney Tunes wooden, denim shirt.
Nope, that was later. Okay. That was later, Jen. That's those Tweety Bird overalls that she wears that says Bad Bird on them. Yep, she's... But my mom's students would make her necklaces. I don't know why this year it was big to have necklaces made out of wood.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But she would get wooden necklaces with like schoolhouses and apples made on them.
Yeah.
And I never asked her if she liked them. She just always wore them. And it wasn't till years later, she was like, I didn't like it, but my kid made it for me and I'm going to wear it. And I was like, God bless you, Terry. And she was like, you know, balls out. She didn't care. But I remember one time she wore a sweatshirt with inserted shoulder pads. That's what you did in the early 90s.
Sure.
She added her own shoulder pads to it. This is a varsity. I'm playing varsity volleyball. I'm a freshman or I'm on the B team. I don't know. Whatever. I'm at a game. I'm very nervous.
Wait, hold on. It started out you were varsity. Then you went to B team.
Well, I had
freshman.
To do the math on this. I could have been a sophomore. Either way, it's volleyball. Lots of like my crushes are around. My mom rolls in. She's wearing a sweatshirt that says, take a bite out of life. And it's half of a watermelon with like a bite taken out of it. And I think there's like a bunch of books all over the rest of the sweat. And then she has these globe earrings on that move, that like rotate.
Yeah.
So she walked into the gym and I was like, what are you wearing? You look like a freaking disco ball. But deep down inside, I actually loved it.
Well, I'll give you one, like, a little, I'm not entirely 1000% wrong, although it occurred to me like two things. One was that I remember being super embarrassed by my parents, and I think it's just that age because my dad felt like wore bell bottoms and a leather vest and like had his chest hair showing. It felt like he was old dressed, you know? And I remember my mom going through that like Victorian pioneer phase or whatever. And I was like,
she had a strong moment hair wise and clothing.
It might have been very hipster. I don't know, but it was the most embarrassing thing that I could possibly imagine. So I was like, okay, you can't really go wrong with like jeans and a t-shirt. Maybe I can calm it down. But it made me a little bit sad because I have so many shirts and clothes and things like that that I've been acquiring since the kids were born, because I'm like, they're gonna like to look at that. They have to look at me all the time. So I have a lot of shirts with like dogs on them and stuff like that. And now it's like that. I think that part.
You need to find a kindergarten class stat, because those kids love that and they appreciate it. You know, I did a video on it. I went to pick Eleanor up from her all girls middle school, and when I drive in and I look at the school, I'm just, it's this place that just makes me feel grateful. And it's the girls are, you're watching these girls like soccer. I'm watching the girls like paint sets for a musical. It's so like cinematic. That's the new word the kids are using. I feel
it's a cinematic aesthetic.
Yeah. So I go to get Eleanor and I realized that I rolled out of bed, put on a sweatshirt, and I had worked the whole day and kind of did not look in the mirror ever. And I was wearing our old, from the first tour, two sizes too big, stained to all get out sweatshirt that says, "I mom so hard" on the boob, no bra. And then when I went to go take that off, I was like, oh, I got to go into school to get her. And it's all middle school girls. I started to get nervous.
Yeah.
And then underneath, I had a shirt on that said Super Mom. And I was like, I think I should stay in the car and just yell at her when she walks by, because the social fallout for her. But here's what's awesome about Eleanor. I go, she comes to the window and she always greets me with a smile. And she comes to the window and I go, Eleanor, I didn't know if I should come in and get you. I'm wearing my I Mom So Hard sweatshirt and underneath I'm wearing Super Mom. And she goes, either one would have been fine.
Oh, that's a confident kid.
You know, she just like doesn't, she thinks Finn would be on the other hand, like, oh, just me showing up is embarrassing enough.
Yes.
Just me literally breathing in a space near him is enough for him to give me like an eye roll.
Yeah. Well, Delilah did a couple weeks ago or whatever around the holidays, showed me this TikTok of, and it was like, I'm glad I grew up with this. And it's like all these dumb, like over the top Christmas decorations and stuff and like buzzing and beeping and whatnot, instead of this. And it's like one of those beige like living room things. And of course, immediately I screamed, like, how are you watching TikTok? But then I was like, that's true. Like,
it is. Listen, I think they're gonna, my kids, it's so funny. They're between worlds right now, especially because I, both of my kids are in middle school. And we have this thing where we walk around the neighborhood, and during the holidays, if we see a Christmas tree, I make them do the Charlie Brown dance, like dun 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 dun. And it stuck with them. So I always feel like my dorkness has rubbed off on them and they're going to take it with them. And like, I always make them wear like sparkly necklaces when they walk the dogs at night, because it's at 5:30 and it gets dark. And so they have to wear a light up necklace and they feel dorky, but now they just put it on as though it's like not even a thing. And I know someday they're going to be in college and they're going to be like, guys, if we're going to walk to the bars, we got to have a sparkly necklace.
How are we going to be visible to passing cars? We need to.
I
got to
call my mom real quick. That's all I want. That's all I want.
Oh, if only they would do. Me. I know. I felt like taken back to middle school in a way that I was very uncomfortable with. And also, it's like, it's a new school. It's a big school. And it's all these parents that
school.
I don't know.
So, I know. We're back in it. And then you're having all these flooding these emotions that you felt when the first time you were there. And so like, it's weird because you feel like you can predict what's happening because you've been there. But I think we're all so connected to middle school that we kind of all go back in time. We're all in these middle-aged shells, but we're all still very much 11 years old. Oh, it makes me want to cry. Like, I mean, I do feel like it's like, I feel very connected when, you know, especially when Eleanor tells me that something bitchy happened, I'm like, here we go. Like, I know, I can tell you, like, don't even get me started. Like, I can tell. And I sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I should give her any advice at all because I didn't handle it very well the first time around.
I've decided that with my children, when they tell me about something bad that happened, I'm going to shut down and disassociate.
Because that's what I do. That's what I do.
You give good advice. My husband tells me I give terrible advice because I told you when Delilah's like, so-and-so was mean to me, I go, well, they set the rules. You can be mean back.
That's what I say.
You should try not to. You should lead with kindness. But if they aren't going to have that, you don't need to have it either. Like, why should you be the only one working hard? I mean, it probably is terrible advice because I do, and it's not exactly true. I try to be nice 9 out of 10 times, even if like somebody is mean like 8 of those times, then I'll finally lose my shit in a big way. But like, I don't want her to just be mean, but I also want her to see that like, you don't have to take stuff, you know, like you can still like, I don't know.
I think it's important.
You can ignore it.
Well, I think the thing is when you're that age, when you're young and you're a girl, sometimes it feels like the only two options you have is to just be quiet and take the shit or go catty. That those are your two options. What we have to teach them as more seasoned women is there's nuance to everything you do. There's a way you can communicate something through a little bit of a joke or taking it and spinning it one way or the other, turning the dial and not letting the heat in your gut be the thing that informs how you have to be a little bit measured. And that's a really hard thing to explain to seventh graders because everything is from the gut. Everything is a knee-jerk reaction. Everything is big. Everything's emotional. Everything's hot. But I just try to tell Eleanor, I'm like, you don't ever have to, I don't want you to tolerate being treated poorly, but you don't have to say it in a way when you come back to her that is exactly the way that that girl is talking to you because that's beneath you. So like, make it a joke or like, you know, like, oh, I didn't get the memo that you were running the show. You know, like,
yeah.
You can make it a funnier way of, and sometimes we role play stuff because Eleanor
is we do
just,
that too.
Eleanor's different than me and she is really, really sweet. And I've been watching old sketches of Mary Catherine Gallagher. And I was like, this was who I was in middle school. And I'm not exaggerating. It's absolutely who I was. Maybe I wasn't smelling my armpits, but I definitely was making out with my clarinet. So there was a lot. And Eleanor is so far more like chill. She's like laid back. She's like my husband. And so when I hear her going through these things, I'm like, oh, I know what I would have done. I would have literally gone off the rails and been a disaster and handled this so poorly. So what advice do I have? Do you know what I mean? I'm like,
yeah,
but I don't want her to feel like she has to get walked on. You don't. It's not the right message.
It's hard because it takes being in that situation. I think my bigger thing is I don't want her to be like scared in that situation. Like I want her to have her wits about her because like there was a thing that happened where she always wears like biker shorts underneath skirts. And she was out like dancing. They had like dancing out on the field this one day. And somebody was going, ooh, you can see Delilah's underwear.
Oh my God. That was such a big deal when we were younger. Mostly because I wore Monday through Friday underwear and I never had the right day on, if you know what I mean.
Well, you couldn't see her underwear. So when Delilah was embarrassed about it, I was trying to be like understanding about it. But I was also like, but you couldn't. What she was saying was kind of silly. What I would have done is I would have gone, flipped my skirt, like showed her my butt that I had biker shorts on and be like, wrong, you know, quit looking at my butt or something like that. But the idea of her doing that like mortifies her.
I would have been Delilah. I would have been like, dear diary, today was the worst day ever. I was wearing biker shorts, but they all thought they were my underpants.
They accused
me of being a whore on the campus. Like, that's the thing. Like, you, as a little, especially fourth grade, I say to like fourth grade through middle school, the amplification of social fallout is so big. And I think it's a mistake as parents for us. Like, it really bugs me when my husband sort of tells her, oh, this isn't a big deal. Oh, you don't. I get why he's doing it. I get he's trying to you know, minimize the right. situation. But I know when you're in it, because I am very connected to that time of my life, when you're in it, it doesn't feel like anything's going to ever change. It doesn't feel like things are going to be okay. And I think it's okay to have big feelings and big reactions and then start to whittle down what the real deal is and see if you can work through them. But I don't think it serves – nothing is helped when my husband's like, I think you're overreacting. I'm like, do you – have you
Everybody
met our marriage?
Loves to hear that.
We
Everybody
all
loves
love
to
that.
Hear that. Yeah,
and by the way, nobody overreacts more than my husband. We just learned what the definition of murder was on Eleanor's Catholicism test. And I was like, just draw your dad.
Of course. It'll be great. Murder? What is
a
it?
A martyr.
A martyr. Oh, like he said murder. I'm like, so,
no, I'm sorry. Martyr.
Yeah.
Martyr. And I'm like, you know, Colin's real quick to give advice because he's one of those people, too. And I think it is that he's a boy, and I think it is that he was a little big. He was a fluffy, you know. He wasn't he wasn't muscular. He was fluffy. And when he was in middle school, he was really tall. So I think when you are tall and fluffy, you appear big, and it automatically gets you a different sort of sensibility in middle school. Because like, just the fact that you're big separates you, and it has some appeal.
And
whereas if you're a small dude,
it can set you up for getting picked on too, because you stand out. Like,
yes, but he's in Texas, and in Texas that has a good connotation. Like, well, he might be a little chubs, but we'll get him into camp and make him an O-lineman, you know?
Yeah.
So he didn't have like Colin, and also Colin is a little like Eleanor. He's like chill. So for him, middle school was not that hard. For me, it was an utter fucking dumpster fire nightmare. That felt like my parents should have pulled me out of school. I still say if it was ever that bad for my kids, we'd move.
Really?
Yeah, well, it was really tough.
I'm going to make another observation from being on this field trip that might have something to do with that. Like, there were teachers that I could not believe how cool they were. Like, I heard about them from my son, and then I'm like, oh, that guy with the, like, sleeve tattoos, and he had like both of his ears pierced, and he has his own YouTube where he does like math and science and stuff. Like, he was very cool. He had a megaphone, and like, it was, and then there was this woman.
He had
like,
accessories.
There was this one that Dashiell's like homeroom teacher, so cool. Like, she was nothing like I pictured. Like, she was just so cool. But I will tell you, every single one of these teachers was so different than an elementary school picture or teacher that it was like shocking.
It has to be that way. They have to be different.
None of them were like prison warden kind of thing, but they were like, I'll stop. I will stop and we won't get, like yelling at these kids in like, I mean, the way that you have to, I guess, but there was no touchy feely like at all.
And you know what? Us as parents, we all need to sit back and be grateful for those middle school teachers, because they tolerate our kids. And if we can't tolerate them for 15 minutes, we can't be real offended when these teachers had to have them for 6 or 7 hours a day and have to deal with all the pops and hisses of puberty on top of like their ever-changing personalities and like all the crap that they have to deal with. They have to be tough. And that's why when you go into middle school, when Finn started his middle school, basically the principal was like, I know this is going to like hurt your feelings. You probably have been very like active in their elementary experience. We don't want you here with our kid. And first of all, I'm like, thank God, because I'm sick of volunteering. But
I'd like to fill out an application.
Honestly, it wouldn't be helpful if I were there. First of all, I would be like hawkeyeing Finn the whole time, like, behave. And then he would see me and it would be weird socially. But I think that they have to be in this little coven with those teachers who are experienced experts and grow around those teachers. That's why I think middle school teachers, the amount that they have to deal with, I'm sure there's benefits of seeing these kids sort of come into their own, because the difference between sixth and eighth grade is just unbelievable.
Well, okay, so when they're in high school, they're like, bodies are bigger, their voices are louder, but there's a little bit more like brains or like slightly more self-control. I found it remarkable being around all these kids. And by the way, so many of them were really nice and actually did not hate on my outfit. We're saying things like it makes you easy to find and stuff. Aww. Like they were sweet. So many of them just like polite and making sure they were checking in with me while kind of doing their own thing, which is like basically what middle school is kind of about. But like they don't have the mental support to go with their bodies. Like
no, they're volatile.
They're tripping. They're talking loud. They're like not in control of themselves.
They're so self-aware and unaware at the same time.
Yeah.
That's why like on the Mary Catherine Gallagher sketch when she like puts her foot up on the piano and her crotch is just hanging out, or like she just like, it's like, that's when I go to Eleanor's school, I'm shocked at the number of girls that just are not aware of themselves, that are sitting with like their legs spread and their butt out. They're like, they don't know themselves, but they're, I love that age. If I'm not the mother, like being the mom of a middle schoolers is tough, but being a teacher must be, they're so sweetly straddling two worlds and you're there for it. You're seeing them deeply connected to being elementary age, wanting to play with dolls, wanting to be sweet, wanting to be cuddled. And then this other side that's like, I've got a boyfriend and he's in Canada. Like, and, you know, doing all this social crap that just feels insane. I hope what I hear about high school is that like come sophomore year, they start thinking about the fact they're going to be out of high school soon and they got to get their shit together.
Yeah.
So I figure like freshman year is not going to be a bed of roses either. But like, I will tell you as the mother, I'm very ready for eighth grade to be over.
Aww.
It's been a doozy.
I know.
No,
it's
ew.
Just, no.
It's been hard. And I'm hope that other 13-year-old people, mothers out there that hear this can understand why. Because I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted at participating in the growth of my son. I'm like, where's the dismount here? You know, like, we've been through this before. Like, stop sagging your pants. I don't understand what you're saying. Why haven't you brushed your teeth? Like, we're backwards. We're back. We're in the backwards. I just think he needs to get a crush on a girl and then it's going to all go.
I mean, that you just hit on a really shocking thing, which is just the breath of these kids. My God.
Holy.
It is next
sour
level.
It is peel paint. Do you have a digestion issue?
I was like
level
on that school
breath.
Bus. I remember it was like hot school bus, bumpy. Car sickness, and I thought somebody was sitting like breathing down my neck. It was
nope,
like
there's four rows back.
No,
and it is,
it's insane, you guys. Like it doesn't make any sense to me how that's even possible. Like
I don't, everybody's got like rotting Invisalign. I don't know. It's just fucking terrible.
I bet a lot of it is fine. You don't want to go brush your teeth. I'm not going to tell you one more time. You can go to school with stinky breath. And damn, do they.
They do. And those teachers, those sixth grade teachers have to deal with it. And also like pit odor because they like don't know to put on deodorant yet. And they don't know. It's just like it's like a little like correctional facility for sixth grade and seventh grade and eighth grade is, I think, like, we're like, you know what? We're not going to call it prison, but we're not going to not call it prison.
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, well, we call it finishing school, except these a-holes don't come out any more polite.
I told Dash that this week, I go, hey, I found my spy at your school. I got one. So, because this is the the elementary school coach has a friend whose daughter goes, and she's in the higher grades. But
okay.
She's kind of like the gadabout of the middle school, so she kind of knows who everybody is. So he was asking about all the kids he knew, like, from the old elementary school, like, how they were doing. And this is exactly how he said it. He goes, Dash is doing okay. She said he says hi to all the girls. And I was like, oh, let me explain to you what that is. He is mortified of all of the boys. So he is like, you know, so many of his good friends growing up were girls that he's like, just feels more comfortable, like, being friendly. And they probably say hi back instead of like.
Yeah, man. They like walk with a smile instead of grunt through shit. Like, hello.
Yeah.
I
talked to another mom about it on the trip because she goes, my son's the exact same way. They're both like robotics, mathematics kids, like, you know, a little more comfortable with like the crew they came up with and like going out meeting friends. Because the coach was like, wait, is he becoming a ladies man? I'm like, quite the opposite. He doesn't even see them.
He's comfortable with women.
Yeah, he does not see them as anything attractive yet. He's still that, like, age. So, but I think it's just, like, how two men will go have hot wings and watch football and not know the other one's getting divorced. They don't talk about shit. They don't know each other's names. They don't know what's going on in each other's lives. They don't know their past history.
We want a little tea and we don't get any of it.
Nothing. They don't talk. It makes it hard for them to like make friends. I'm like,
it's funny. I know making friends is like not easy. I forget that making friends is not easy. And I think you and I have the good fortune of having, you know, like, especially when you go to shows, we get to talk to people, and it's a different start than just being in the world and having to make friends.
It's warmed up.
So I do think there is an advantage. Like right now, the only thing I have to deal with is like one gender at Eleanor's school, which feels like as a parent, there is one element that has been taken away that I just don't have to deal with on a daily basis. And the two for me that are big is boy energy. And that's not to say it's bad. I've got one. It's just so peaceful at this campus. I don't even know how to explain it. And the other one is uniforms. Those two things as a middle school mom has been a godsend. And I really, the school is very small. And so I was walking through this, and it's super old. And I was walking through this very old middle school with lockers, and I saw this girl. She's sitting in the hallway, and she's got, like, this boot on. And I'm like, hey, kid. And I immediately go from being the, like, a, like revisiting my own middle school years right into being a teacher, which is what I was for 7 years. I have teacher energy. My mom's a teacher. I love teaching. I wouldn't be surprised if later on in life I end up teaching again at some point because I love it. I loved it. And so I see her and I'm like, hey, kid, what do you got going on with that boot? And she's like, oh, I've got a bone spur. And I'm like, I know all about boot situation. My daughter's had them on both feet and whatever. And Eleanor's like, God, Mom, don't tell her about my feet. And so then I keep seeing her in the halls. And I just think I can tell immediately that she's a little bit naughty and a little bit nice, all smashed into one. And I like
it. That's fun.
Yeah. And so she's an eighth grader. And she just seems 40 years older than Eleanor.
Yeah.
And Eleanor, who's very shy and is trying to make friends, and it's hard to make friends, is walking up this set of stairs, and she's with this new buddy who's no longer wearing the boot because time has passed. And she goes, and Eleanor gets in the car and she goes, I go, hey, that's cool. I met that girl in the hallway. And she goes, that's the only reason she talks to me is because she likes you so much. She goes, and she's kind of the town bully.
Ooh. But you made friends with her.
I just like, I, you know.
That's, I think that's a good lesson in like, you know, reach out to people.
Most people
react kindly to it.
Yeah, I think saying hi to everybody's important. I think you know, if you can look me in the eye after I say hi to you and you don't say hi back or you're like cold, whether you're a middle schooler or an adult, I've got notes. You know what I mean? You're next level a-hole. If I'm literally just saying hi to you and you don't say hi back, I don't understand those people.
And if you see a short woman wearing a lot of Christmas regalia and she seems
she's
to be
not
on
a kindergarten
her own.
Teacher.
No.
She's on her own.
She's the same height as the middle schoolers, but she's not. I think it's
really sweet that you dress like that and you shouldn't stop. Your kids are going to love it. And someday you're going to have grandkids and they're going to see you dress like a weird Christmas tree and they're going to be into it. They're going to think it's the most awesome thing they've ever seen.
Well, and then because I was so nervous about it when I went up to do the teacher's holiday lunch, I didn't wear any Christmas and I was the only one not wearing Christmas.
Why would you do that?
Because I didn't want to embarrass him. I don't know. And I felt embarrassed too. So it was,
No.
Look at how mad at me you are.
Stay strong. Stay strong. How dare you? They don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. Like, We cannot buy in to their propaganda. And I know how easy it is, but like sometimes I have to remind my son of just how cool I am.
How does he buy into that? Is that
not
that
at all?
Out?
And only emails his dad, which pisses me off.
Hey,
like, look,
I have a mom box here.
Okay, great.
That you should read to your son when he thinks you're not cool. And I will read it to my son when he thinks I'm not cool. Okay. Because Melanie M. sent us this message. Okay. So excited to come to the Cleveland show.
Woo-woo. Oh, we didn't even say that. That you can go to imomstar.com and see where we're going on tour. I cannot wait.
I know. It's exciting. It's our flashback tour. Okay. So the Hubs got me tickets for Christmas. Cough, cough. I sent the link and said, buy this for me for my gift. Okay. My bestie and I had tickets in Philly for your last show, but her dad and my mom both died a month apart and we both just couldn't function. So we gave our tickets away. Sweet ladies. Sad panda. Now she's stationed in Korea and we're stationed in Ohio. So my Hubs gets to tag along. He retires from the Army after 20 years on my birthday in January. So this is going to be the best night ever. And he is going to get the damn reality check he needs. Haha. 9 and 12-year-old girls moving them 5 times. Puberty, menopause. Oh. It's all been rough on my sanity. Entirely different experience with him versus her, yet equally hilarious. Cannot wait. I cannot freaking wait. Have I mentioned that yet?
Oh my God.
Melanie, you got to mention us back and we'll get you and the Hubs backstage and we'll take his temperature and see how
scared to death he is. Melanie, listen, that guy, we've scared military men.
Yeah.
They've seen combat and when they've come to our show, they're just real quiet.
It's like, I didn't know that about periods. That's a lot
of... Yeah, they're like, Jesus Christ, how are you alive?
I was a medic and I don't...
Oh man, can you imagine? That's tough. Military families have to move so many times and then you've got girls and then you're also on your way out of your own menstrual shit and you're like... Dealing with your husband, you should just punch me in the face, add to it.
Talk about
break my bridge in my nose.
Make new friends all the time. You're moving around when you're in school. That's hard. But
that's hard.
Those military kids are tough.
Tough kids. I never did it.
In a good way.
K through 12, same town the whole time. Used to tell people we were moving just in case the rumor got out and then we'd have to make it true. Never worked.
Can you imagine your parents going?
They did.
Did you? You got a dentistry job a few towns over?
They're like, stop telling people we're moving to Grand Island. We're not moving to Grand Island. I'm like, I could go to Central Catholic.
Sure,
it'd be better.
We moved to Grand Island.
I sure hope we're Grand Island. What's her name? Melissa?
Melanie Murray. Yeah.
Melanie Murray, we're going to see you and hug you and kiss your face and remind you that you're not crazy. It's just everybody else is hard.
That's right. I think we just podcasted.
Did we podcast?
I think we did.
Here's to 2025.
Pioneer.